Today on Real Radio.
The book of Joshua has been written for us that we might have boldness and faith regarding our promised land experiences. My heart's desire is that God would use us radically, because you know what? We are so tempted, aren't we, to be faithless people?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. We're going to be covering a whole bunch of pages today, Joshua chapter 13 through 19. Of course, this Old Testament written record is the account of Joshua leading God's people into the Promised Land. And this lesson is where the whole conquest culminates. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a study that's simply called The Promised Land.
In the first five verses, there's the introduction to this, and it says, these are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. Notice the word is inherited. Can you mark that down in your Bible? Circle it if you would. The word in Hebrew means to be given to them. It's given to them. And God says, I gave you the land. Well, wait a minute, Jack. I thought they went to battle over it. They did go to battle. Christian, listen up. We are called to go to battle. We're called to show up. Can you show up? We can show up. If we show up to the battle, guess what God has promised? To give us the victory. Why? He does the warring. He does the work. He delivers it as an inheritance. You don't work for an inheritance, Christian. You simply belong to the family. My sister, my brother and I, we had a long removed, this sounds like a story, we had a long removed uncle that lived in South America. And according to his will, he was to be dead for 100 years and then his will was to be opened up. Because he couldn't stand his family. And it was in the late 80s, I think it was, when we found out that when this will was opened up, this guy left tens of millions of dollars to the family that he had never seen. So we get this, you know, thing in the mail. Well, you had this uncle. You know, sounds like a story. These things where, what did we do to earn such a thing? Or what is it that we're allocated to this? Nothing. It's in the line. If you are, listen, born again into the family of God, then you are receiving the inheritance that Christ has purchased for us on the cross for all eternity. Listen, Christian, those of you who struggle with your worthiness as a Christian, let me help you out right now. I've tried real hard to be worthy of God's love. Forget it. He loves you because you're in the family. He has received you because of what Jesus has done. Not what you do. You're born into the family. Oh, if I can just, you know, work at being your son, or work at being your daughter, or work at being... No, it doesn't work that way. You're born into it. Born by the Spirit of God. Joshua and Caleb are these examples. The children of Israel are the examples of God's promise made years and years and years earlier to a man by the name of Abraham. And it says, beginning at verse 6, chapter 14, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. Remember Gilgal? And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, now this is Caleb, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea, way back. I'm sorry, I've got to pause here and read and just bring this in. We're going to find out in a moment. Caleb's 85 years old. Joshua is 80 plus. Can you imagine these two guys? Hey, Joshua. Caleb, brother, how are you? Little high five. You know? Hey, watch out. They had been the guys from the very beginning. all these young soldiers, they're around them. Can you imagine Joshua and Caleb getting together, campfires in Gilgal after the victories at Ai and these other places, talking to them? I'll tell you what it's like to be a soldier. We were soldiers in those days. We had to go to war, you know, in the snow and walk 10 miles, you know. Joshua and Caleb, old believers. Caleb, now we hear from him. The land's been subdued, but he says, okay, listen up. This is the deal. I remember when we were with Moses in Kadesh Barnea. Remember that? When we found out about the promised land? Verse 8, he says, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. That's the 10 other guys. But wholly follow the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's, plural, forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, verse 10, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, so that's 85 years of age. Ever since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while in Israel, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and how here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, it kind of sounds like he's kind of tooting his own horn there for a minute, didn't he? I don't think so. This guy had learned how to walk in the fear of God. This guy is giving glory and honor to God. 85 years old. He says, I'm just as strong now as I was then. And you know what? I don't think he's lying. I think he's telling the truth. Why? How can this be? Have you noticed how when we were younger, we would do insane things? Chase cars or whatever we did as young people. Jump off of buildings, jump... You know, stupid things. And we were like made out of rubber. We were like Gumby. And it didn't hurt. Nothing would break. And if it broke, it would be fixed in a week. It's okay. Now you get older and it's like, oh, I have to walk over there. Can we park a little closer to the front of the store? Now, I love to water ski, and I think when you water ski, you use every muscle in your body. Why? Because I feel like I use every muscle in my body. But yesterday, we had some 60 kids, and many of us took the youth down, and they had their surfing day at the beach yesterday. Well, you know, my fingers are sore. I got up this morning going, ow, ow. What is this? These bodies are just giving out. Caleb goes, what's wrong with you? I'm 85 years old. I'm ready to go in or come out to go to war, whatever. How does that happen? You know what? I got to tell you. When you and I serve the Lord, supernatural grace comes and holds us up and keeps us going. It's divine. It's bizarre. It's God's grace. Many of you have been to foreign countries on short-term mission trips. You get on a plane, you fly sometimes 10, 9, 10, 11, 12-hour time zone changes. When your body says to go to sleep, it's time to get up. You're all twisted around, and yet you go out on the streets, and for hours, you're leading people to Christ, or you're doing your skits or drama or music, and you're wondering, it's a marvel. How am I going? How can I keep going? There's this grace that God deposits in the life of every believer who steps out and determines, I want to be used by God. He does this. You can be so tired in your normal day-to-day living, but the moment you step out in faith, God gives you special energy. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, what did he say? Lose it. He said, if you want to protect your life, give up your life. You and I will never know what that's like until we do it. You and I will never know what it's like to be a Caleb and a Joshua until we say, Lord, whatever I am, and whatever you can use, so use. Do you have a pen? Are you taking notes? Can you jot this down? I'd like you to jot down a prayer request. This is the prayer request. That the Lord would use me and you. That's Y-O-U. See, we can always... Yes, the Lord can use my family, my friends, my enemy. No, you and me, us together. Lord, use Jack and me, this church, us, to do a radical work, exclamation point. That's my prayer request for you to pray for my life, for this church. Lord, use us in a radical way. Joshua and Caleb, can you imagine trafficking around with these guys? Caleb's walking around, and you will see in a moment what kind of guy this was. Hey, look, looks like the enemy over there. Let's go. Not in the opposite direction, but straight toward the enemy. Radical. Do you like to hang around people like that? I don't know. You know, there's this thing about protecting. Oh, it might get hurt. And then there's this thing where you just step out. It's kind of like getting in the water the first time. It's freezing cold until you get your feet in. And then you get further in. And then it's like, boy, what took me so long to get in? Caleb says, let's go. Joshua would say, let's go. And I'm sure all these other thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of soldiers would say, don't these guys know how old they are? You know, somehow we picture them camouflaged with walkers going out there. I don't think so. Maybe camouflaged, but God's grace was on them in a powerful way. Look at this. This guy's wild. Verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, he points to it, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. That's the giants. Remember last week? And that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He just sent an old man up to this mountain where all the giants are hanging out. And those giants are your enemies. Verse 13, so Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron, the son of Jephunneh, as his inheritance. And Hebron, therefore, verse 14, became the inheritance of Caleb. Isn't that wild? Well, look with me in chapter 15, verse 13. It says, now Caleb, now this is after the fact. Joshua says, okay, Caleb, you go for it. Go get him. Little guy goes out there, he's got a flag, he's going. Look at verse 13 of chapter 15. Now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a portion among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Remember last week we talked about Anak. Anak had six fingers and six toes, and he was huge, massive, weird guy who had kids, who had offspring. Goliath, one of them. Well, look at verse 14 says, Caleb, not Jerital, Caleb, not a committee, Caleb, not an army. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there. Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. These are all giants found in 1 and 2 Samuel and Chronicles as well. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir, or Debir, and there formerly the name of Debir was Kirjath Shifer. Verse 16, and Caleb said, he who attacks Kirjath Shifer and takes it, to him I will give Aksha, my daughter's wife. She must have been a cutie if that's the incentive, huh? This guy comes up there and he whips the giants. Don't you want to go out like Caleb? I'd like to go out as a Christian like Caleb. I have an unadopted grandfather that comes to first service. As he was leaving the service today, he doesn't hug me, he punches me. I love it. Grandma Mary, she gives me a hug, but Grandpa Bob, he punches me. And it always smarts. He's just a strong old guy. He goes, I'm 85. And I said, and look at you go. He said, God's good to us. They've been coming here forever. And I said, you know, if I could be more like you now in my years, And he said, you know, from now on, you can just call me Grandpa Caleb. I thought that was cool. And off they went to their chariot to go home. What a lesson we learned from Caleb. Let's keep going quickly. Chapter 16, you can see there that there's the inheritance that's divvied up to the children of Ephraim. Chapter 17, to the half-tribe of Manasseh. There's a division there regarding the tribe of Manasseh. You can read it later. It's just simply the address of the children of Israel, Manasseh, to their certain geographical locations. Chapter 18, verse 11, is the land that's dedicated to the children of Benjamin. And then we come to chapter 19, where Simeon receives his inheritance, verses 1 to 9. And then in verse 10, the tribe of Zebulun gets theirs. Issachar follows that. Asher, Naphtali, verse 32 on down. The tribe of Dan from verse 40. But I want to draw your attention. You never thought we'd make it, huh? I told you we'd make it. You say, well, that's cheating. I know. It's kind of cheating. But I couldn't pronounce all those names anyway. I already tried. But look with me in verse 49. There's some special awards to be presented. This had to be a precious moment. Verse 49, when they had made an end of dividing the land as an inheritance according to their borders, the children of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua, the son of Nun. Was this a moment or what? You ever been to one of those events that are truly worthy to be called an event? When your heart is stirred, and here's Joshua, he's got scars. He's old. You would look at him, and you, listen, you would have grown up before you were born, Joshua was there. Your mother would hold you and say, there goes mighty Joshua. Maybe your name was Joshua because his was. Now he's an old man. Their hearts had to be exploding with joy. Their throats had to be filled with a lump for tears. Joshua doesn't ask. It's made available to him. The children say, we want to bless you. We want to give you an inheritance. I bet Joshua never would ask for himself. And it says, verse 50, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked for in Timnah-Serah in the mountains of Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt in it. We want to bless you. All right, if you want to bless me, then I'll take this place. And there it's named. Verse 51 says, these were the inheritance which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided as an inheritance by lot in Shiloh. Remember, Shiloh was the first resting place of the Ark of the Tabernacle of God. Shiloh. Not the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Shiloh was first. Then came Jerusalem. At the door of the Tabernacle of Meeting, so they made an end of the dividing of the country. In Hebrew, as you know by now, Jesus' name is pronounced Joshua. Our Jesus, God's only glorified Son, when he went to the cross, purchased for us a walk of faith, salvation. And the moment that you came to Jesus, when you said, yes, I want to have Christ to forgive me of my sins, and I want my name written down in his book of life. I want to go to heaven. The day that you said that, a pilgrimage began, a walk of faith. Now, what was of the Old Testament known as the Promised Land, you and I experience today in our Christianity in this world as our promised land. It's not heaven, neither was it back then. The promised land is not heaven because there are wars to be fought in this promised land. There's the enemy, and there's the demand to be vigilant and to hold your ground. All that will cease the moment we breathe our last here and enter heaven. Amen. May it be soon. But our Joshua leads us today to battle in our promised land. And I want to stress this as we close. The book of Joshua has been written for us that we might have boldness and faith regarding our promised land experiences. My heart's desire is that God would use us radically, because you know what? We are so tempted, aren't we, to be faithless people, to be afraid and to be timid, and to not be bold and venture out on great Christian things for the kingdom and for the glory of God. You're just like me. I'm just like you. We will say, I can't do that. When a request comes, or when someone says at Thanksgiving, when you're gathered together with family, let's eat, and that prompting comes upon your heart, we should pray first. That feeling that we get, I'm unworthy to pray, Lord. You know what feeling I'm talking about? Or the Lord might say, share my love with that man. Lord, what can I say? I have nothing to say. I know those are scary moments, and they'll always be that way, because whatever we do in this life has to be by faith. The moment you say, stand back, everybody, I'm going to share the gospel with this man. Boy, what a mess about ready to unfold. That's okay, Lord, you can stay there. I've got this one. Oh, what a disaster awaits. All of us are so unworthy of being servants of God, and yet every one of us who name the name of God are his servants. We are all called to full-time ministry the moment we got saved. Our promised land, it's right here. It's this community. It's where you work. It's wherever your feet go. Because wherever the priest went in the Old Testament, they took the Ark of the Covenant with them, which was a symbol of the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant now is inside your chest, in your heart. You are the temple of the living God. Wherever we go, we take mercy. Wherever we go, we take grace. Wherever we go, we take the light and the salt of God. And Paul the Apostle summed it up, and he said, who is sufficient for these things? Answer, no one. Paul says concerning our ministry that all of us have, that no man calls himself to these things, but we are called by God. We leave today, this building today, but until we meet again, wherever our feet go, we take the presence of the Lord with us in our fellowship, in our fun, in our work, in our labor. Oh God, make us more like Joshua's and Caleb's. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study quite simply called The Promised Land. It's a look at a large portion of Joshua, chapters 13 through 19, where the conquest of Joshua and God's people finally culminates. The Promised Land. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating look at this historical Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that Real Radio's Book of the Month for August is Charles Ryrie's Balancing the Christian Life. Now, each month, Pastor Jack personally selects a book that he thinks will be valuable in your spiritual growth as a believer. And this one really truly is one of those books. The title alone gives us a good idea what's inside the book, Balancing the Christian Life by Charles Ryrie. Visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click the button on the right that says Resource Center. And that's where you'll find the Real Radio Book of the Month, realradioactive.org. Or give us a phone call if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.